It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Hi, welcome to the show. No, it's not Deborah Howell. It's Melanie Cole filling in today on Hoag Health Radio for Deborah Howell. My guest is Dr. Maria Stepfer. She's a general surgeon, and she specializes in disorders of the pancreas, liver, and duodenum. And she's part of the Hoag's Pancreas and Hepatobiliary Cancer Program. So today we're talking about metastatic colon cancer. Speak a little bit, Dr. Stepfer, about what is metastatic cancer? What is a metastasis?
Well, a metastasis is basically tumor cells that have broken off or separated away from the main primary tumor, which would be either in the colon or the rectum, and have entered either the bloodstream or the lymphatic stream and go and deposit somewhere else in the body. And generally, the locations where colorectal cancers tend to metastasize to are generally either the liver or the lung, and sometimes the bone. They can go pretty much anywhere in your body, but those are the top three sites.
Now, so, I mean, can any cancer form a metastatic tumor?
Yes. Pretty much any cancer can become aggressive enough or invasive enough to start metastasizing to other areas of the body.
And how does it metastasize? Does it travel through the circulation if somebody is told they have colon cancer? Can it then start spreading via circulation?
Yeah, it can spread via the circulation or in the lymphatic system, which is basically fluid outside the circulation that goes into the glands or the lymph nodes and can move through tissues that way.
Now, do we typically find a metastatic type cancer? Do we find a cancer first and then, you know, maybe during treatment it metastasizes, or is this usually at the point when it's found after it has already become a metastasis?
Well, I would say it's about half and half. About 50% or roughly 50% of all patients that develop colon cancer will ultimately develop a metastasis. And about half of them, I think, are diagnosed at the time that the primary is found, which is somewhere in the colon or rectum, and the other half develop it during their follow-up period, which is usually within the first 2 years after diagnosis.
So, you know, we've heard of various treatments for cancers and colon cancer specifically for our discussion today. So treatments that are used for a metastatic cancer, are they a systemic? Are we looking at chemotherapy? Because if it's running through your body, that would seem so much harder to pinpoint with radiation, or how is that treated?
You're correct on that assumption. Chemotherapy does work quite well. There are about 6 or 7 medications that are currently used, and they're becoming more and more effective over time. They are given systemically or into the bloodstream, and that's how these medications are able to target all areas of your body, and they're able to treat both the primary lesion and the metastatic lesions wherever they may be.
Okay, so chemotherapy we're looking at, and we'll get into a little bit of, I'm going to ask you a little bit about, you know, colonoscopies testing, because I think we can't have this conversation without at least discussing some of that. But talk about the research, what's going on. Is there, you know, you hear about people living with a metastatic cancer for many years, more than they used to. So what's going on out there now?
Well, I think what's going on is that as time is going by, the chemotherapy medications are getting better and better. They're better targeted. They have less side effects, and so patients are doing better. They're able to prolong their survivals. Some of them are even being cured.
Really?
Yes.
And you're using the C word for colon cancer. You're saying the word cured.
That's correct. It's still a small percentage, but there are patients that have been deemed cured because they have no evidence of recurrence after treatment.
And this way you look all over the whole body. You look where those metastases were, specifically the liver, the lungs, maybe the bone, and you find no evidence, then you can tell them they're not in remission, that they are actually cured of this type. But then what, you look at them every couple months?
Yeah, they undergo surveillance and different oncologists have different regimens as to when they surveil or follow these patients. But generally about every 6 months or every 3 to 6 months, they're getting follow-up studies. And then as they get farther and farther out with no evidence of disease, that interval of time where you look for recurrence gets, you know, expanded out to every year and then every other year and then potentially no more.
Wow. That's really something.
That's great.
It is. That's just really amazing. Now, speak a little bit about colon cancer and the prevention or the tests for people are terrified of colonoscopies.
Well, you know, colonoscopies are also getting safer and safer. The equipment's getting better and better. And it really is the best method to diagnose colon cancer. And so in and around the age of 45, 50, everyone should undergo a colonoscopy with follow-up colonoscopies every 2 to 5 years after that to look for disease. Because the sooner those cancers are picked up, the better chance for cure and prolonged survival.
Well,
now, in regards to the management of liver metastases, because of the advancement in the chemotherapies out there available for treatment, liver resections for metastatic lesions are also becoming much more feasible. And in fact, patients that have been deemed unresectable after chemotherapy who have a good response end up having about the same survival, which would be about a 35% five-year survival rate after resection for liver lesions that were originally deemed not resectable.
Wow. So the liver, I mean, obviously, in its own right, is going to be something that's affected. And what about the rectum and anal cancers? Do they kind of come as a result, too?
Well, rectal cancers are included in the information that I was giving you. Anal cancers are a little bit different. They're a whole different animal, if you will, and they are treated with a different set of medications, including radiation. And they also have a fairly good outcome and maybe even potentially better than colorectal cancer as a whole, but they are a completely different animal.
Well, and I know that as someone who has to have my colonoscopies regularly, people are, as colonoscopies get easier and easier, it's the prep that most people don't want to deal with.
Yeah, the prep is, those are also getting a little bit better. They're a little bit gentler. There's a less or a smaller volume of medication that you have to take. There is something new out there, which is something called virtual colonoscopy, and what it is a little capsule that you can actually take. And the capsule basically has a camera on it, and it goes through your entire GI tract, and it can actually image your colon from the inside. You still have to do the bowel prep, however, because the camera
needs to be clean.
That's right. You need to be able to see.
Yeah, so no matter what, the prep is hanging around.
That's true.
Yeah, we're still going to have to do that. But you know what? It's not that bad, and you always feel like you lose a pound or two anyway. But is there such thing as prevention?
For colon cancer, yes, there is. You know, we're all taught to take in a diet that's higher in fiber and eat less red meat. And those are some things that are associated with a lower risk for colon cancer.
So it can be diet related, because there's been some controversy about fiber and its, you know, ability to keep us cleansed and keep us, you know, are polyps a risk for colon cancer?
Yes, definitely. Polyps are a risk for colon cancer.
So if you have a colonoscopy and your doctor tells you you have polyps, do you then start worrying and have these more often? Or, I mean, for the most part,
they do have colonoscopies, and they will schedule them regularly if you have developed polyps, because once you start developing polyps, you can develop polyps again in the future. They will tell you to improve your diet with more vegetables and more fiber. But, you know, just because you have a polyp doesn't mean that, you're at significantly increased risk at that point in time. I mean, a polyp can be easily snared on the colonoscopy and removed, and, you know, it's not necessarily a bad diagnosis, if you will.
So tell people where they can find out more information about Hoag's Pancreas and Hepatobiliary Cancer Program.
Well, we have our center, which is in the 520 building off of Superior, and we have a hospital staff there that has information on our program and pamphlets available. And there's also a website that Hoag offers, and there should be some information there regarding our program as well.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Stapfer. This is Melanie Cole for Hoag Health Radio.